I am Stephen Fontana.
And I'm the Dorito Pope.
Oh, God, you brought him out? Ooh, you're really digging down deep into the well. Ooh, baby. This is Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, episode 25 for the week of December 11th. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast presented by ProvenGamer.com. This is episode 25. Andy, 25 of these things. We are halfway to 50, a quarter way to 100. That's how math works. How are you?
Their 25th anniversary edition of this podcast.
25
long weeks.
Anniversary. It might actually be 26 weeks. I don't know. I don't really know how math works. For those of you who don't know and are joining us for the first time, this is this is Proven Gamers Nintendo podcast. It's where Andy and I go over the Nintendo news throughout the week that you need to know. We discuss Nintendo's past, present, and future. We have a lot of fun doing the show. If you want to be a part of the show, you could write into us at nds@provengamer.com. That's NDS as in Nintendo Dual Screens at provengamer.com. And of course, if you like what you're listening to, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review. It really helps us. We actually, reviews have been coming in like crazy, and by that I mean we are up to, I believe, 15 reviews, 14, 15, something like that.
15,
Andy, you've been keeping 15 reviews, 15 reviews. That's right. All 5 stars so far. Amazing stuff. But we had 7 like last week or 2 weeks or a week and a half ago. So this is good. Getting in front of more people. So on this week's show, we are going to be talking about, obviously, that Nintendo has no games, of course. And that's me being sarcastic because there's just a lot. We're also going to talk about all the awards that Nintendo won at the Game Awards. But first, let's very quickly go over what we are playing. Andy, you start us off.
I've been playing a charming little game that cast a spell on me, known as Nine Parchments.
Yes, indeed. We did receive codes for review, so look out for a written review from Andy on ProvingGamer.com. We will also be discussing the game a little bit more in depth. I, unfortunately, had not been able to jump in yet, but I know, Andy, you've been messing around with it for a little while. What are your initial hot takes on Nine Parchments?
It reminds me a lot of... like Champions of Norrath, Diablo sort of gameplay.
Right. Yeah. That's so kind of.
I love what that sort of perspective and format, but it's all you're a mage, and I love mage because I always play as a mage in all those kind of games. Always, I go for a mage build or a mage like character, and to have a game that's just solely about mages and casting spells. Right up my alley. Now, the game has a couple of issues, but fortunately, the guys at Frozenbyte, who are making the game, have addressed the concerns just about how there's some items vanishing from people's inventory, experience not tallying up properly, and having more than one save game file, and they just sent their patch over to Nintendo for a review. So I'm going to put it on hold for a bit until that patch is actually up and running.
Well, now, one of the issues that I heard that was going on was that if you started a game and then you decided to join a game with a friend, it erased your story progress or something like that. Like, you kept your character progress, but your story progress would be wiped.
Oh, don't all games do that? Isn't that a feature for all modern games?
I would stab everyone if that was something that was something that happened often. I mean, that had a little bit to do with why I didn't start it, because I knew that you and I wanted to jump in. I don't know if there's even online multiplayer in this thing. I feel like there should be, but the reviews that I have taken a look at I tried to stay away from reviews. I don't want them to sway my opinion of a game, especially if we're going to have like a review discussion.
Yeah,
I feel
the same way.
But I did want to see if there was any online multiplayer. The only review that I don't want to say read because I didn't read it. I actually was listening to a podcast and they were talking about local multiplayer. They didn't mention online multiplayer, so I don't really know if there is one. But they said, you know, it's fun. I'm a big Gauntlet guy, so I really can't wait to jump in. But those games are a lot of fun with friends. They're not really fun to play on your own. So we'll see what happens. I hear it's very chaotic multiplayer. There's a lot of splash damage. There's friendly fire and stuff like that.
It's a hard game. Yeah. It's pretty challenging. Yeah. That's why I keep asking you, hint, hint, to jump on so we can play together.
We will. We will. Don't worry. It's just, it's been... The life has been a little hectic. Baby, sweet mama P, my baby Penelope, I'm sure you, I think you heard her, listeners, that's talking to you. You probably heard her as a guest on, I think two podcasts ago, I think, was the one that she was yelling her head off in the living room. She's been a challenge for my wife and
I. You keep saying that, but from our listener feedback, no one hears that in the background.
Well, when I'm editing, I definitely heard it, and I left it in on purpose. I left it in on purpose.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. I left it in. It is subtle, but I want listeners to know.
All right.
You know, I do have a 4.5-month-old, so things are been a little hectic around here. My gaming has definitely taken a backseat recently. I keep up with the news as best I can. I play when I can. But hopefully after the holidays, things will calm down a little bit. Andy and I have two really nice treats for you guys coming up. We're going to do a very special NDS Awards podcast very soon. That's going to go live on Christmas Day. So it's a little Christmas gift for you. And then going live on New Year's Day, we're going to do our year in review. Just to talk about what happened throughout the year on this show, with Nintendo, stuff like that. So you can look forward to that. But this week and next week are going to be your last regular news type show that you're going to get. And next week we are going to do our final, Retro Game Club, which I am going to give Andy hints. It's going to be his last chance to overtake me in points. The reason why we're doing it that way is because he started the year, so it's only, I guess, fitting that he should end the year. Technically, I should end it, but it doesn't matter because Tricky was in there, and I think he played one. It doesn't matter. But we're going to have fun, and the winner will be announced or presented a trophy on the NDS Awards podcast on the 25th. So, yeah, really, I haven't been playing anything. I've been too busy.
Okay, I'll give you that. Proud Papa.
I turn on the Switch every now and again. I did download 9 Parchments, so I really want to get into it. It's just going to be probably a couple days. I'll definitely have something to say on it on the next show. Let's talk about what's releasing. I totally forgot to open that part of the document, so let's do that. Let's see what's releasing. Sorry. All right, so there's a good amount, but oh yeah, the 14th is packed. 14th and 15th. All right, that's good. All right, so we have Party Planet coming to the Switch. The End is Nigh. I heard good things about that game. Coming to the Switch as well. Black the Fall coming to the Switch. So the 12th had The End is Nigh and Party Planet rather. The 14th has Black the Fall. We have Bleed coming out. Block Drop Chaos coming for the 3DS. That's for $150. Let's see, what do we got here? Oh, Enter the Gungeon. Yes, I played that game. I love Enter the Gungeon. Very good game. Very tough. It's I believe that's the roguelike. Sometimes I get confused. There's so many games that came out. Mecho Tales is coming out for the Switch as well. We have Mutant Muds Collection, also a really fun one. If you're not into that kind of if you haven't tried that series, the Mutant Muds series, go with the collection. It's good stuff. What else we got? Never Stop Sneaking. That's if that's anything like Sneakin' King, that's a day one buy. One More Dungeon coming to the Switch, also on the 14th. Polybridge, no idea what that is. That's coming to the Switch as well. And then the big one on the 14th, Yooka-Laylee, finally getting released on the Nintendo Switch. It's going to be optimized with some Switch features and stuff like that. So that's going to be something to look forward to. Then on the 15th, we have Unepic. I hear good things about that as well. We have Hiragana Pixel Party. Don't know a damn thing about that. Then a really cool title called Brawl Out, which is it's just a clone of Super Smash Brothers, but excuse me, it's starring all indie game characters. So you see,
There's three
Guacamelee characters. Yeah,
Guacamelee, yeah. Hyper Light Drifter, the Drifter, whatever his name is, and there's a penguin of some kind. I'm not sure from what game the penguin's from.
Yeah, it's definitely. it looks like it plays exactly like Smash. So, look forward to that. Maybe it'll hold you over for Smash. Something to play with your friends. That's it. That's what's coming out. So another good batch of games. Nothing like last week. Last week was ridiculous, but got some really good stuff. I would say try Enter the Gungeon if you haven't already. On Epic, I hear really good things about Yooka-Laylee. If you're finished with Mario, might be a game you want to play. Maybe you're burnt out on that type of game, but give it a try. But Brawl Out is a must-have if you're a gamer that plays with a lot of friends and, you know, party games and stuff like that. So definitely a cool fighting game. All right, well, that's going to bring us out of the releases. That's going to shove us with a big old push right into the Nintendo News Report. But before that, please remember that we do have a Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, please go to patreon.com/provinggamer. We have multiple tiers for you to explore. We have podcast tiers, we have written content tiers, we have everything under the sun. So please support us. It does help us out tremendously. We really do appreciate it. Again, that's provinggamer.com. Patreon.com/provinggamer. Help us out as much as you can. In case you can't tell, I am exhausted. It was a hell of a weekend, hell of a day at work. Busy. So
excuses,
I apologize if I'm also thirsty as hell. Drinking my apple cranberry LaCroix.
I learned to have a nice glass of water at all times with me during our recording sessions.
Indeed. Well, I already drank an entire can of seltzer. So, and for those of you who don't know what seltzer is, it's bubble water.
See, I should have Mountain Dew because I am the Dorito Pope after all.
Yes, you are. The Dorito Pope.
All right, Steven.
Dusty Dorito Steven. Pope. All right, Andy, that is going to take us to the Nintendo News Report. Take it away, sir.
Ready for some news? Some nice,
I am fresh, so ready.
Effervescent, slap you in the nuts news.
Oh.
All right.
Be gentle.
So, you know, like, it's a recurring saying on this podcast that Nintendo has no games on the Switch. It's a sad fact. So much so that Notch, if you know who Notch is, he created Minecraft, little game about mining crafts. From what I understand, you mine a spaceship of a craft and you build things from it. So, Mr. Notch, who I did at one point try to get to plug our podcast for us on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we did some back and forth, and he said to me, why would I do that? I'm not your friend.
Oh, God.
How'd you go in there for a second? You went, oh, really?
Oh, you're the worst.
I am... a garbage person.
I am a garbage person,
as people say.
Yes, definitely. All right. a garbage person.
So Notch made a comment about how there are no games for the Switch, saying, and I quote, "So I forgot to turn off my Switch last night, and now my entire apartment is flooded with hot new games, and more just keep spraying out of the thing. Please advise."
I think it's a nice little
quote to kind of go launch into all of the games that were announced recently for the Switch. I think the biggest one we saw release date for was Brawl Out, which you mentioned earlier in the release window for next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how there's actually a bit of a Twitter debate as opposed to what they should have for their icon. Should they have their original cast of characters or should they have their guest characters as the icon
characters?
And I believe the consensus so far is go with your original people, because that's what's sell your original content, not your bullet points of we have the Drifter and Guacamelee dude and Penguin guy.
Personally, I think that they should, at least maybe, you know, if this is successful. I mean, it is successful. It's been on Steam.
Yes, it has. I remember correctly. It's a great game.
Yeah, I think they should. The second one they do, you know, maybe they call it. I can't say Brawl Melee out. I don't know. Anyway, they should just star all indie characters. Like, keep a couple from the original game, but then get some other indie game characters. I think that would be really cool if they did something like that.
Yeah, I mean, think of it in a way where, for example, Warner Brothers has all these guest character spots for Mortal Kombat and their Injustice right. games. They could do that, but for indie characters. For their Smash Brothers, you know, wannabe. And I would love it. Like, the gun...
Now, like is it a wannabe? I don't think it's a wannabe. I think PlayStation...
Listen, it's definitely aping off of Smash Bros. There's no denying that.
No, but I'm thinking it's worse than a wannabe. It's a blatant copy. I mean, it's almost like the exact same thing. It's like... Yeah.
I mean, it's
cosplaying as
it's definitely Smash Brothers. It's more obvious than... What was that game for PlayStation? All-Stars Battle Royale?
Right.
At least that tried PlayStation to, All-Stars that tried Battle to be Royale, different.
But this the is, difference is that PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale changed it a little bit.
It did.
This but is it made it carbon seem copy. Like they were trying too hard.
Yeah. So, okay. So if we can say Battle Royale is a wannabe, this is a straight-up ripoff of Smash Bros. You know, it's not a bad thing. I mean, we have a gap.
It's about time.
We have a gap of where a Smash Brothers should be on the new Nintendo system. So this is a perfect game to fill that void. So I'll take it. And it actually plays really well. So I'm not going to act like I'm not thankful for it, that it exists. But in any case, yeah. Dude Bros at Brawl Out, definitely showcase your main characters. Because they look kind of funky. And I dig that. So, moving on to more games. We got more games, Steven. Announced for
more
the
games.
Switch. We have Spirit Sphere DX, which was announced exclusively.
Exclusive.
For the Switch.
Exclusive.
Now, it's a Zelda Pong is in my notes here. So, it says here, it's a one part tennis, other part magical beatdown. You can play solo or compete with friends. By battling across fantastical realms and unleash the power of the spirit spheres. So it's like tennis or Pong, but it's with a weird, you know, you're a mage or that kind of mystical, fantastical setting.
Right.
So it's fun. It looks cute. And a little known fact about this game, these guys, the publishers, Fabraz, also published SlimeSon for the Switch.
Ah, yes, SlimeSon. Yeah.
And these guys are based in New York. So if you're listening, guys at Fabraz, you can come down to the recording studio. And by studio, I mean my empty office in my apartment. And we can do a little Q&A about your game. Get you guys some publicity to all of our at least 15 listeners. Who leave us that great, sweet, sweet feedback.
At least 15.
At least. Andy. We can guarantee at least.
And we have 71 people in our Facebook
group. We do. So that's a lot of sales that they shouldn't miss out on.
Damn right.
All right. More games, Steven. Do you want to play Ultimate Chicken Horse on the Switch?
Boy, do I.
Do you? Well,
boy, do I.
You're in luck because Clever Endeavor Games. I love that name, by the way. Clever Endeavor.
Awesome name.
Have said that they're working on it. All right, so you know, calm your tits. They're working on it. It's going to be a thing. All right. Now, are you familiar with this game at all, Steven?
I think I am. The reason why I say I think I am is because I believe I watched some Let's Play of this, but I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, so the idea is
no.
It's a party game. And everyone takes turns adding an element or an obstacle to the level.
Yes.
Between yourself and the end goal. And the idea is to basically fuck with your friends, but also right. leave it so you can get to the goal as well. So don't fuck yourself in right. the process.
Right.
All right, so that's Chicken Horse. Again, another great game you can have for the Switch. And it's also, it's along the lines of, I mentioned last week, Hollow Knight and Battle Chasers. Games that I haven't purchased yet, I'm going to wait solely for them to be out on the Switch. So, look out for that, hopefully. There's an announcement coming next week from these guys, so watch that Twitter feed. And this kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Oh, boy.
This Capcom announcement for Street Fighter.
Oh.
Okay.
You know what? You're not the only... And you know, I hate that we're so similar.
Yeah.
Because it pissed me off, too. But go ahead.
So, Capcom, yeah. who said, if you want to bring more games to the Switch, announced a 30th anniversary edition of Street Fighter, like a bundle, coming to PS4, Xbox One, and the Switch, which includes 12 Street Fighter games, which are Street Fighter...
9 of them you won't play.
Exactly. Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2, Championship Edition, Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2, Turbo, all the Alpha games, and the 3 Street Fighter 3 games. So, off the bat, I can tell you that I would love to play Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, maybe Alpha 3, and then Third Strike is all I care about.
Maybe the original. This. Maybe the original Street Fighter yeah. would be fun. But yeah, that's basically it.
But my first question was, why isn't the new Street Fighter that came out on Switch this year in this bundle? Because I've been waiting to buy that game, and it not being here is like, I don't want to give you money for this and the other one.
I feel like they gave so many redundant games. Like, why would you play Street Fighter 2 if Hyper Fighting or Championship? Championship Edition, I think, is better than Hyper Fighting. So, like, all you really need is Championship Edition on there. Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo is all you really need. Actually, yeah, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo is the only Street Fighter 2 you really need, to be honest with you. Street Fighter Alpha, that was when Akuma first showed up, right? Was it the Alpha series? I don't remember.
Yeah, it's just you could have cut most of these games and tried to cram them in Street Fighter 4. I'm pretty sure,
or not even like even the EX series. Like I remember on PlayStation had Street Fighter EX Plus Alpha
for that though, Steven.
Those were so good.
Do that.
Oh my god!
I think you saw there's that
actually that kind of sucked, but
there's that other. Is it Ariga who made the characters Skullomania?
Skullomania. Yeah.
So they own the rights to those characters, and they have their own fighting game coming out soon with those weird people from the EX series. So I think because of that, with rights, they can't publish those games again because they
whatever. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's cool to have this collection, but if it's not a physical collection, then there's really no point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of games, and for a $40 bundle. It's worth the money, but
yeah,
if it's
a lot of games, but
if when you're playing two out of the 11 games,
there are people out there.
Yeah,
there are people out there that want to play it. So whatever, I'm not going to poo-poo it. It's just for me, I could have used four games. Maybe.
I'm going to
Street Fighter,
it.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter Alpha 3, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. It's all I needed. But all right, moving on.
All right, so we got some demos and DLC. Released recently. We have, I wrote here, I Am Not Setsuna, Lost Sphere.
Lost Sphere, demo yeah, is I'm out. Actually looking forward to that one. Yeah. That looks great.
It's getting,
that's Square Enix, right?
Yeah, it's getting sort of a lukewarm reception in Japan. So we'll see. I mean, I think I discussed earlier that I really liked I Am Setsuna, so I'm kind of leaning towards purchasing this, but I may wait till reviews are out before I make my final decision.
Okay.
And we got a nice little free DLC for Mario plus Rabbids, a versus mode.
Thank God. But not online, because they're a bunch of commies.
Did you... Now, did you read the details for the DLC?
I know that it's 3v3.
Okay.
You pick three characters, uh-huh. you versus another three characters.
Yeah.
It is, you only have three actions
yes.
per turn.
That is insane.
So, right. It adds another layer of challenge. It actually makes a lot of sense because having your party do all of its actions, possible actions at one time, could be very one-sided. You could corner your opponent really quickly with that, especially when it's only 3v3. I could see it if, like, I controlled the bad guys and I had, like, 8-9 guys and I could keep respawning guys, it would be okay to have us all do moves. But because it's 3v3, I think it's a smart idea. So the way it works is you can do one of three things. You can move, you can attack, or you can use an ability. And that's all you can do in your turn per whatever. So I have three guys. I move, you know, Luigi into position. I will use my power with Peach or whatever to put bubbles up for defense. And then I'll move Mario on the other side to, you know, to set up a flank. That's my move. And then your turn would go, and then you would move your guys according to mine and blah, blah, blah.
I would just use Luigi to snipe the shit out of you
until the match is over. I love using Luigi. He's my favorite character. Luigi with the ability that when, you know, you move into his view, and he gets a free pot shot. That's how I played that game. I put Mario and Luigi on either side of each other, and I just let people cross them in the battlefield, and they each get a pot shot. But it's really it's upsetting. It's upsetting that this stuff isn't online, because, like, you and I would play that all the time. We'd beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, I mean, we can't. Listen, we play so much of Nine Parchments already online. Why are we playing? Why are we playing this game?
Yeah, to be fair, we didn't even play Splatoon very much together.
I think we did Salmon Run one time or twice.
We got to get on that.
We did
more.
A handful,
especially
of times.
especially with the new. What do you call it? Splatfest coming up.
Wait, Steven, don't go. We're not hyping it yet. Save it. We're not doing that just right, yet.
I'll put that in my pocket. That in my pocket.
Put it back in your little pocket there. Actually, we are there. Sorry. That was a good segue.
Well, speaking of your back pocket, ladies and gentlemen, you have this thing probably in your pocket. It is called a cellular device. On that cellular device, you probably have this app called Amazon app where you click and you buy stuff. Well, guess what? Amazon.com is a sponsor of ProvenGamer.com. The way they sponsor us is they allow us to advertise Amazon on our website. So if you want to support Proven Gamer, you can very simply, and it doesn't cost you anything other than what you would already be buying. So if you want to do your shopping, go to ProvenGamer.com, click on an Amazon ad, and do your shopping like normal. The website gets a little kickback. It helps the website out tremendously. Trust me, it really, 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 really does. So again, Amazon.com. Go to ProvenGamer.com, click on an Amazon ad, do your shopping like normal, and that's it. It knows how you got to Amazon. It knows all that stuff. It's the robots. It's Skynet. We're all going to die. And that brings us to the Hype Zone, Andy. And I know you've been working so hard on this Hype Zone. I am so excited to see what you got. But I did... I thought, did I spoil it in Splatfest? Was it Splatfest?
No, is it the wasn't. New Splatfest? You're hinting at my non-hyped things. These are the things that could potentially be hype zone,
but they're not hype enough.
They're not quite there yet. They're good fallbacks.
Socks or sweaters? Socks or sweaters?
I'm seeing socks.
That's the new Splatfest.
Socks.
Oh,
socks
absolutely.
All the
way. Absolutely. Or is sweaters it... make me sweat? I don't want that. I don't want that.
Or is it the new the NZAP 89 weapon for Splatoon 2, which looks like the old Nintendo Light Zapper with the orange colors and all.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, but listen, unless a Super Scope comes out for this game, I don't care about retro guns, Nintendo.
True that.
There's or already
power glove.
Like
give me the I power glove.
There's already two of the classic Zappers in this game with different stats, I believe.
Yes, true.
So
yep.
We got a third one. Whoop-de-doo. Okay. So,
Steven. Yaddy freaking die.
All right. So, this Hype Zone, it was a last-minute add-on. I was scouring the web for something worth talking about that was better than all of our exciting, soon-to-be-discussed Game Award news and Rabbids DLC and... Street Fighter bundle.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a hard hype
so
zone, dude.
A lot of great. We skipped over an item in the news, but fuck it. I was scrolling up in my document. Like, I did not talk about that game. Anyway, all right, hype zone, Steven. Okay, now this is news that is so awesome. My jaw dropped as I was reading it. It is, as I would say, jawsome. It's Jawsome News. Now, have you ever wondered what the result of inbreeding would be if a bunch of Kirbys were to fuck each other? What that would look like over time?
Well, Steven. Can't wonder? Say that I wondered that.
Before? No, you did. You did. Because you're a sick fuck like
did
I am.
Did I?
Yeah, of course you have.
All right. Debatable. Continue. But you have piqued my interest.
Yeah, but wonder no further. Because there's a company in Japan that makes these little, you know those toy dispensers you pop a quarter into and some random figure comes out?
Of course.
So these are huge in Japan. And there's a line of these toys called Chakurel Planet, which is about cute animals with oversized jaws. So they've taken this idea and they've applied it to Kirby. And I'm just going to send you really quickly in Messenger what this looks like.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. Just get this ready to go. Wait. And you're gonna bust a nut.
Listeners.
Listeners,
I'm going to put this in. I'm going to put this in the write up for the show this week, so that you can see as well what it is we are talking about. Oh, okay, I just got it, ladies and gentlemen, and it. Oh,
isn't that
he looks like
if
Homestar Runner had a kid.
If Jay Leno Kirby. Raped Wispy Woods or King Dedede. This would be the result of that union, of that unholy union.
It sounds like, it looks like each one of these characters would sound like Homestar Wano.
Homestar Wano.
Hello, I'm Kirby. I'm here to suck you. Yay.
Now, I'm not going to lie, the Wispy Woods one, I want it to be the actual, like, they should change it so that's the actual look from now on. Because that is one mighty chin.
Actually, you know what? King DDD looks... He looks pretty... He looks like? He looks like... was it Launchpad?
Launchpad McQuack from DuckTales. Yeah.
He looks like he'd be a superhero.
Oh my god.
We obviously need to get these. So what I want to do is I want some... Listeners, you have to... procure these Nintendo Kirby whatever chibi wubby woobies whatever the hell they're called. Take the amiibo, the corresponding amiibo, rip those amiibo off, put those bases on these figures and make them your new amiibo. That is your goal. When you do it, send in a picture and you'll forever be immortalized in the Nintendo dual screen Hall of Fame.
It just looks so ridiculous.
I think it looks cool. I mean, you know, Kirby looks like he's a little bit intrigued. Oh, hey there, guys. Are we taking a really dramatic picture?
You do a really good Homestar. Is it because you're partially retarded? Or is it because you're completely retarded?
Come on, Andy. That word is not politically correct. All right, We don't say that.
Fine.
I'm a little frittata, yes. All right, folks. So the topic of discussion.
Let's get into the discussion.
That takes us out of the hype zone. The topic of discussion this week is going to be the Game Awards because, man, oh, man, did Nintendo do some damage.
Can I share
a
story before you go into this?
Wait a minute.
What?
Yes, I will.
Okay, I'll wait.
What's remarkable... is it with all the damage being done, Horizon Zero Dawn won nothing at the Game Awards. Nothing. There was talk that it might even win Game of the Year.
Nope.
There was talk that Mario and Zelda would split the vote.
Listen,
blah, blah, blah.
I'm sure this is more of a Trophy Horrors discussion, which I'm sure we can plug that podcast right now. Please tune in every... whatever day of the week.
Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday. It depends on the edit.
Your in-depth PlayStation news and reviews from Tricky Mick and other people. No, I'm going to say bullshit because That game, while a great game, in every category it was in, there were better games. So I'm sorry, Guerrilla Games. You made an awesome, you know, adventure for us to enjoy, but it just, there's so many other better things in those categories.
All right, well, speaking of, give us your story.
Oh, well, I was on Penny Arcade today. I saw a really funny comic strip. It was Jeff Keighley, Dorito Pope, on stage at the Game Awards. And there was someone saying to him in the background, "Hey, Jeff, the awards are over. Get off the stage." He was like, "Okay, give me 1 second." And he has a little envelope, and he goes to himself, "And the award to best Jeff Keighley goes to," and it's Cuphead. I lost it. That's it was good. That's such a multi-layered joke. It's really good.
I really like Jeff Keighley. Yeah. I think he's doing really good things. I know, but
it's just such a fun joke. The industry. It really, you know, first of all, how Cuphead won like a bajillion awards that night, and just that there would be, you know, there's these really bizarre categories, I feel, for this award show, and the fact that an award known as the award for best Jeff Keighley would be a plausible award for this ceremony. So yeah, Nintendo got a lot of big wins. A lot of big wins.
So let's go over those first, and then we'll go over the news that came out of the awards. So all right. I guess we'll start with the big one.
The big one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Big one. Game of the year was The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, and I'm only going to say that it shocked me because I really thought Mario being newer, fresh in everybody's mind, it was something that people would not shut up about. But I guess people were able to hold on to the memory of Zelda. People are, I'm sure, are still playing it. I'm still playing it. I still haven't completed it.
So here's,
I know I'm a terrible person.
Here's my notes on that. And that's I knew that it was going to win Zelda because for the simple fact that Odyssey didn't do for Mario what Breath of the Wild did for Zelda games. Mario was fun.
I guess.
Had a really cool gimmick with Cappy and the whole moon gathering system and how you can basically do anything you want in that game. But the way Link tore out the rulebook completely for Breath of the Wild, and it was a whole different experience for us Zelda fans. And even though Tricky hates it because of Master Sword dying, which I can concede I agree to that fact as well, I think that is a superior game between those two.
And okay.
Also, I don't see how Horizon could win in when you have both Odyssey and Breath of the Wild in the same category. Persona 5 is a better game than Horizon. Just going to say.
Did you vote?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. So, yeah, I voted every once in a while and, you know, maybe every other day or something like that. And my votes, I bounced between Zelda and Horizon because I really, like, it would depend on what I thought my criteria was. And then eventually I decided that the reason why I think Horizon had a chance is because the world that they built in Horizon was way deeper in its content density. I'm sorry if I said density, I didn't mean that. Density. So like the content that was in that game was so much to do. It wasn't on levels of The Witcher, but it was polished beyond what The Witcher was to me. And Witcher to me is going to be your Western RPG level. Like that's the bar for me. Zelda to me felt very dead. It felt very vacant. It was like the only way that you found something to do is if you went and looked for it. It wasn't like there were, you couldn't tell where your next adventure was going to take you. So it left you kind of, if you didn't want to climb, you know, a mountain that you saw, you wouldn't see all the things that were on that mountain. There wasn't going to be a mission eventually that will say, go to the top of that mountain. So I feel like they were almost two sides of the same coin. Now, the thing that I think So I thought maybe Horizon would win because of that, because it on the face of things looked like it was bigger. It looked like it was more technically impressive. It had fully voiced characters. It had branching story arcs. It has engaging combat. It has all the crazy levels of polish. Whereas Zelda, you know, while it was beautiful, it wasn't like the most beautiful game. It had its issues. It even had issues running in certain cases. But on the face, Zelda looked very barren, very, very, very non-populated. However, where Zelda excelled was in those adventures that you think that you are the only one finding.
Yeah, I mean,
it tricks you into thinking that you're doing something that's special.
Yeah.
That by climbing that tree and then jumping in one direction and then finding a rock that's sitting in on a stump or a tree thing and then picking it up and finding a Korok seed, like, nobody told you to do that. You just kind of figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to discredit or put down Horizon. It's an amazing experience. For a new IP, it got recognition. It just didn't get the awards. But I feel that if we had the design aspect we find in, let's say, the shrines of Breath of the Wild in Horizon, different ballgame. Because what I enjoyed about Zelda was the freedom of what you could do and how you can approach the same temple or shrine in a million different ways. I recall looking at videos of how to do certain puzzles when I was, you know, kind of caught or stuck at some points. And I would watch four or five with different approaches and techniques. And it's just amazing how the game squeezed so much out of each mechanic, be it the time stop mechanic or the magnesis or the ability to freeze water and create little ice pillars, all that.
Right, and you're learning new ways of using those, where in Horizon, there's one way to use a bow, there's one way to use, you know, the ammo. You can't set trees on fire. You can't, like, you know, like, there's, the world isn't as interactable. The people are, but the world really isn't. That's the thing. The world, Hyrule in itself, Hyrule Field, whatever, like, all of that stuff is a character. Like, that was a living, breathing character. Whereas in Horizon, the characters are characters, but the world is kind of just the backdrop that you're playing on.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Persona 5, I know you were into. I didn't play very much. I know that the series gets a lot of love. It did win RPG of the year, so that's probably, you know, one of the reasons.
And well deserved, too.
But Zelda also got Best Game Direction. It was up against Wolfenstein 2, Resident Evil 7, Biohazard. Again, it was up against Horizon and Mario. I think arguably the reason why that won is because it took such a drastic turn in direction that you could only attribute it, like, it being in Game of the Year discussion is because of the game direction. So I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, but again, this category, I feel it was a bit of a toss-up for me because I felt that any of these games could have won this category easily. Even Resident Evil 7, which I thought was amazing, which, again, took the series out of a third-person view and jammed it into this beautiful first-person nightmare, which worked so well, especially in VR, by the way. So, again, I see why that game was on this list, and this could have been anyone's award, but it went to Zelda. Yay, Nintendo.
So it took two really big ones there.
It did, yeah.
What I found interesting is that they didn't count Switch games as handheld games, which was interesting. But that allowed Metroid: Samus Returns to win Best Handheld Game. But honestly, it was Nintendo versing it, you know, fighting against itself at that point.
Don't you mean the Best Family Game, which had Odyssey, Splatoon 2, Sonic Mania, Mario plus Rabbids, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe?
That was coming up. I mean, that was another one. But I think Overcooked should have been on that list, but whatever.
That had a really bumpy
Zelda
launch
took Best
for the
Action
Switch.
Adventure Game.
Yeah, it did.
Which another that's another one that I thought Horizon could have won, especially given the fact that Zelda was cleaning up on everything else. excuse me. Best family game was Mario. Mario wound up winning that, as we said, which was nice. But here's the biggest one for me. This is the biggest win for me. Was best strategy game, Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. We could not have praised this game anymore throughout this podcast. And the fact that it beat out Total War, it beat out XCOM. Those were really the two that stood out to me.
Yeah,
it beat out Halo Wars too, but not, you know, I don't think Halo Wars is really that great.
No. But just to jump on the XCOM, I think I told you that I started playing XCOM 2 after I finished Rad because I had a strategy itch I couldn't really scratch, and then I was like, let me just get XCOM because it's similar enough to Rabbids with how it's laid out, but there's so much more depth to it, and that's the better strategy game, I feel, is XCOM 2. I'm not sure why Rabbids got it. It's cute and all. Is it Rabbit Peach? Is that why she got the award?
Yeah, she was doing some favors.
I mean,
I'm implying she was doing sexual favors.
It's great that Nintendo got an award in the category where it took it was a big gamble for them to do this partnership, I think, with Ubisoft. Because, you know, it's two properties that people love, or at least one that a lot of folks love and one that's banks on its cuteness factor to get sales. But you're putting them in a really sort of niche genre, because I feel strategy games, while they're popular, they're not as popular as, let's say, if you took this and put them in an Mario 64 type of a setup.
Right.
I remember one of my friends, he picked up the game because he thought it would play like a platformer. And then when it didn't, he was a little bit let down. Mm. So, again, a big risk for this kind of a gameplay. But, you know, it paid off for us. We loved it to death. But on the surface level, it's a very basic strategy game. There's not much to it. You move around. You can jump off your enemy's heads and each other's heads. You can slide. You can snipe from a distance.
I felt like what made the game stand above for me was its presentation. Its overall presentation was endearing. It was really polished. It just felt like it belonged in the Mario ethos, and that's really, really hard to do when you're not Nintendo.
Yeah, it felt like Nintendo made this game.
Exactly. Which
says a lot about the quality of Mario plus Rabbids.
Right. Is it the deepest? No, but I don't think it needed to be. I think it needed to be fun. It needed to be funny. It needed to be engaging. It needed to be somewhat challenging. It was challenging as hell for me. I don't know. I just suck at games because I'm a big baby.
That last boss took me a while. A lot of nights in bed with the glare just blinding me as I'm trying to get some sleep. And I go, I gotta put this down at some point. I'll try it one more time.
Well, That was the Game Awards. Now, on Christmas Day, you were going to get the Nintendo Dual Screen Awards, which is promising to be very fun, a whole lot of fun. This is unrelated, but I do want to talk, I want to read an email that we got because it is somewhat significant. This is from Colton from ND, which I can only think stands for Nintendo Duel. So he's from Nintendo Duel.
No, you're gonna do
this is a big deal,
Steven. Since you mentioned Homestar, can you please do the Strong Bad voice and read his email to us? Do us the honor.
All right.
There you go.
Email. I got a lot of email. Okay. This one is from Colton from Nd. Hey, Steven and Andy, comma. Just found you guys, and I'm listening through all of your episodes. I wanted to know, what is your take on Amiibo R? Do you have any? If so, how many? Is it a compulsive collection, or only your faves? Cheers, Colton from Nd.
that made my day. That's going to make the rest of my year. Because I really miss Strong Bad.
Colton, thank you so much for writing in.
Yes, Colton, thank you.
for me, Colton, and I'm sure you'll get to this episode at some point, but I do mention that I have those bootleg Amiibo cards. I just don't have the room for Amiibo, but I like the idea of having them. So I buy those knockoff cards, and I, you know, for the ones, for the games that I would use them in, I have all the Zelda ones leading up to the release of the Breath of the Wild ones, and I have the Splatoon ones. That's really all I have. If maybe I, you know, put up a couple more shelves and I have some more disposable income, I would dabble in them. I don't know. Andy, you don't really dabble too much in the Amiibo.
No, I mean, I already have enough hunks of plastic in my house that are useless. And I feel more would be like just at this point redundant. I do have, like Colton says, I do have some favorites. I did buy a Mega Man one for obvious reasons. I own a Pikachu. And I own a Robbie the Robot. But I'm the kind of guy who... you know, it's... When Nintendo, when they started to hide stuff in their Amiibo, I kind of... A little off-putting for me. So I started to distance myself from buying them. I think we had this whole discussion about Metroid DLC being kind of tucked away in the Amiibo figure with the hard mode and bonus costumes. And, yeah, I mean, listen, they're cute, but I feel that I'm a bit of a hoarder and a collection collector, if you will. So if I started to buy them, I'd have to buy all of them.
Yeah, and I'm the same way. Like I could not have half anymore. Collections.
Yeah, there's some that are like, oh, a Comic-Con exclusive. You can't get this one anymore unless you want to pay out the ass for it.
So I used to play Mage Knight and HeroClix.
Uh-huh.
And no, when I played HeroClix, no, I didn't get into Skylanders. But when I used to play HeroClix, I would be like, well, I can't have some of the Avengers or like some of the Sinister Six. Like I need it's not called the Sinister Five. Like it's the Sinister Six. So I would buy booster packs, try and get the characters I was missing. And if I couldn't, I would go on eBay and I would spend, you know, $12 to $20 for one character. And this would go over and over again. And that's just because I needed like my perfect team or I wanted to complete the team. You know, it's a disease. It really is.
It's the same with the Lego Dimensions. And that's even worse because you can't even do things without having certain characters in your roster.
Right.
So that's that's like the most egregious version of that sort of system. Thankfully, it's not that bad for Amiibo. I mean, I do enjoy having it on my shelf. They look cute. They're adorable. And I already have my Mega Man one. So when Mega Man 11 comes out, I'm all set for that game. Thank you very much for that one. But I think it's just, yeah, I can't. They're priced okay, but there's a lot of them, and I would want all of them.
When there's a lot of them, and
I can't do that.
And like you said before, there are some that are really hard to get, and the price just gets jacked.
Oh yeah. It wasn't who was it? That's like the really rare one that came out. There was like a special Comic-Con one, I think, in the Zelda series, like a Skyward Sword one or something that was super hard to come by.
Yeah. Even Wolf Link was hard to get for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it in Best Buy one time, and I really should have just bought it. But
yeah, they just bundle them with games. Like here, you can get the Wolf Link with this Twilight Princess HD pack. It's like I just want the Amiibo. Now you gotta buy the bundle. So, again, you take that coupled with we're going to cram fun stuff for those who buy these things into these figures. Again, it's a smart idea. I'm sure it's not going to go anytime soon. We've seen, you know, we got a brand new set for Odyssey that came out recently. So they're here to stay.
Yeah.
So those are our thoughts.
Yeah, they're definitely here to stay. Yeah. I mean, they invested in the technology, so they got to use it.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun little break.
There was another message that we got. It was on the Facebook group, which, it's a friend of mine from high school. Mike had writ Jesus Christmas. Video just popped up on my thing. All right. So yeah, he posted an article about that. Actually, we could talk about it. It was that Nintendo's resurgence was the best tech story of 2017 from the
Wire.com. Oh, I did see this article. Yes.
Yeah, he just thinks that he kind of piggybacks off of what I had been said in a previous episode. Let's give the context here. I want to read some of this article for some of you. I know that we're getting off topic, but the basic gist of it was that the Wii, after the success of the Wii, they came out with the Wii U. The company was struggling. They were hemorrhaging money. And they came out with the Switch, and the Switch basically pulled it out of irrelevancy and made it, you know, a solid part of the zeitgeist, if you will. What makes me nervous is that they're not going to continue with this style of console. I feel like they hit the sweet spot now, that they really can't go back from this. Personally, I think there should be, and I've said this in other shows, but I think after reading this article, again, it's on theringer.com. It's called Nintendo's Resurgence was the best tech story of 2017. So if you want to read it, you can. excuse me. Sorry. I think that just making new beefed up tablets is going to be the way to go. I think, you know, Switch 2.0 or Super Nintendo Switch or whatever you want to call it, just with the newer technology in it, you could price it at the same price, or you can even price it probably at like $200, because you would just sell it with the tablet in some cases, if you wanted to. And then like you could get like the bundle with for $300, but, and then you could lower the price of the old tablet, blah, blah, blah. All of it should be backwards compatible, because it should be the same architecture, same chipset, same all that stuff, just more beefy, more RAM, more graphic, you know, more GPU, you know, whatever. That's my opinion. I think they should do that, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The problem with the Wii was that it was standard def, so they had to do something in high definition. Hardcore gamers were straying away from that system after it had come out. After, you know, they played it was a novelty, but they weren't selling games for it. That was the attach rate, I think, on the Wii was something like 3.5, maybe 4 to 1. Whereas on PS3 and Xbox 360, you were talking teens. We're talking 13, 14, 15 to 1. In some cases, even the Vita was in, I think the Vita was something like 17 to 1. The 3DS was up there. It was like that, and that's where they make their bread and butter. They make their bread and butter from their games. So, and now we have the opposite problem, right? We have a ton of games being purchased for the Switch. Games that hadn't sold in other platforms sell the best that they ever sell on the Switch. So I think they hit a home run here, and I think they need to stick with it. I really hope they don't try and reinvent the wheel again. They could come out with more, peripherals for it that make it a little bit different. They could do stuff like that, but I think the design, sliding controllers on and off, I think that's the way to go. Gaming on the go, slide it in a dock, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I wanted to address that because Mike was nice enough to share that article in the Facebook group. What are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree with the article, how Nintendo really came back swinging. I think it's one of the biggest successes we've seen in gaming in a very long time, how the Wii U was a failure. I think it's the only way to put that, it was a failure. The hardware wasn't up to snuff, and the games weren't just there. Now, in terms of the future of Nintendo past the Switch, I know it's early days for that kind of discussion, but I agree with the fact that it should this new style of hardware with its tablet, that should be the mainstay going forward, because it's different enough from its competition. They will still sell on that merit alone. And I think just as this was one of the easiest wins, given how bad the Wii U was for Nintendo, it's going to be hard to follow this up with a Switch 2.0, because it could easily be another Wii U disaster. Because I'm pretty sure Nintendo thought that was a good idea at some point, that this was the way to evolve the Wii, we'll have the same success, with a better controller and we'll have better games and yada yada. And that
it was
did the not Wii turn U, out well at all for them.
The Wii U felt cheap, but other than that, there was really nothing. Okay, well, maybe not other than that. The tablet itself was kind of shitty, but
it was a Fisher-Price plastic thing. That's right, what it felt like.
Right. But the idea of what they were trying to do was actually kind of cool. It's just they didn't communicate
it. No, I mean, from a conceptual perspective, as an idea as of how a game can be delivered and played through a series of systems, it works. The delivery just didn't match the expectation of what it should have been. And I think when it was and out there, it was...
Yeah, they didn't communicate too gimmicky. That. They didn't communicate what it really was. So, again, we've 25 episodes, I'm sure we've mentioned this type of conversation beforehand. But again, I just wanted to mention it because Mike's a very good friend of mine from high school. We grew up together, and he was nice enough to ask or to share that article and get a little discussion about it. You can join our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/group/NDS podcast. You could search for us. You could ask to join. We will approve you right away. The link is in the description of the show, so you can just click that and brings you right to the page. But that is going to do it for us here this week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Steven.
Before we leave, Andy, is there anything that you would like to say to... Actually, you know what? Before we do that, I always forget the order here, but let's talk about Proving Gamer, because Proving Gamer is nice enough to host this podcast. Tricky is a very good man. He is willing to do that for us. Proving Gamer is always hiring, so if you want to be part of the Proving Gamer family, you can do so. Go to provinggamer.com, click on the Help Wanted tab, fill out an application. We're looking for editors, that's written editors. We're looking for video editors, audio editors. We're looking for podcasters, video content creators, Twitch streamers, really anything that you can do. If you think you can help the website in some way, fill out an application and try and do it. It would be really good. We do have other podcasts. We have Trophy Horrors, which we mentioned earlier in the show, is a PlayStation podcast. I am a not the host, but I mean one of the hosts or one of the members of the rotating cast there on that. We have Game Stuff, which is a newer show. It's I want to say it's about a dozen or so episodes in. It's a general games podcast. Not really news. They talk more about like what's going on and or like what's happened in the past, and they kind of break down some things a little bit more in depth. Really good show. I really like it. It's a good idea. Excuse me. We also have PG Spoilers, which is a unedited, unfiltered discussion podcast with random Proving Gamer editors or you. If you want to do a PG Spoilers, you can film your own podcast at home, send it to us, and we will edit it. Not edit it, but because it's unedited, but we will clean it up and get it out there for other people to hear. And also we have the Smart Marks, which is a professional wrestling podcast. It's a lot of fun. Those guys do a really good job on that. So you could find all of those on where you find any podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio hosts Trophy Whores and the Smart Marks. Now that I got that out of the way, you could follow me on Twitter. I'm at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. The show is at NDS Podcast. You could follow Proving Gamer at Proving Gamer. Thank you to Zazu Pitts of Sarah No Productions for our theme song called 8-Bit and Up. It's an awesome song. We love it. Dan Colonna, thank you for our logo. And now that we got all that rigmarole out of the way, Andy, what would you like to say to the people out there?
I want to give a shout-out to my boy, Reggie Fils-Aimé, who announced Bayonetta 3 at the Game Awards.
Oh, my God. We forgot about that, didn't we?
And I also want to thank him for announcing 1 and 2 of that series for the Switch. And the lovely bundle coming out, known as the Nonstop Climax Bundle.
For Bayonetta 1 and 2. I totally skipped over that on our agenda. That's my bad. Yeah, Bayonetta 3, man.
Yep.
Huge news.
Yeah, huge news. And that bundle is coming to you if you live in Japan, and also announced recently for Europe. So once again, us here in the States are just ass out of luck.
Bayonetta, the cool thing about Bayonetta is that it was... The first one was on other consoles, and then Nintendo went and they like bought it. You know what I mean? Like that was going to be their action franchise. So I'm really happy that it's going to come back. I hope it's a little different. I hope they do a little bit of different stuff with it, but we'll see.
Well, Steven, they announced that there's Tag Climax can be played via local, wireless, or online.
I have no idea what that means.
And there's Amiibo support as well. So, hey, Colton, better get that Amiibo of Bayonetta. You can use it for
get
this
them
game.
Amiibos.
Get them Amiibos. But yeah, I feel Bayonetta is becoming sort of an unofficial mascot for Nintendo now. Alongside Mario and Link. She's getting up there.
In the Relax ranks. Yourself.
No, come on now. She is
She's
a
got
badass,
like 15 years to go.
Badass witch woman. She's putting the witch back in Switch, Steven.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Just take us home. Just say goodbye.
Thanks, Reggie. Bye, listeners.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Sorry, I forgot about that whole Bayonetta thing. That's my bad. Again, thank you so much for listening. As always, please be excellent to each other.